Good morning and thanks for joining us. My name is Adam Sandiford, podcast and video producer for the Beamsville Church of Christ in Ontario, Canada. We're pleased to bring you a message this week with the title, More Forthtelling Than Foretelling. Following our sermon, Ed Winnington, one of our elders, will bring some communion thoughts. And after the Lord's table, we'll have a visual prayer prepared by Kristen Hoover, the other worship coordinator. If you'd like to get involved, it's as easy as a phone call or a video chat. Our information is at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca/contact, or you can drop us a message on Facebook. The scripture reading for today is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Every once in a while, the entire world deals with conflict. Just looking back on history, there was the Spanish flu where millions and millions of people had died. World War One, or it was supposed to be the war that would end all wars. Of course, that didn't happen, but the whole world was part of it. In 2008, so not that long ago, there was the global financial crisis where millions and millions of people lost everything and they've never recovered. And what God always intended the world to be, even from the beginning, isn't. It's not what God wanted the world to be. And I remember the story of, and you probably do too, of when Jesus knew Lazarus was going to die. But he also knew Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. And so when Jesus goes to the grave, goes to the cemetery, he weeps. And one of the questions that we ask is, if Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead, why was he weeping? And my understanding of that was he wept because death was not part of the plan. It wasn't supposed to happen. Death was never in God's mind from the very beginning. And throughout the ministry of Jesus, by some of the things that he said and some of the things that he did, he was looking forward to the time when there would be no more death, what God never wanted to have happen in the first place. And so I want to spend some time talking about that today, that the world isn't what God intended it to be. That he asks us, he commissions us to demonstrate to the world what the world could look like, what it could be. We look forward to the day when God will restore and renew all things. Paul talks about this. Jesus talks about this. John talked about that. Isaiah talks about this. Habakkuk talks about it. Isaiah reminds us of these words. God says, I will create a new heaven and a new earth, for the former things will not be remembered. So I'm saying all this to say, especially when difficult times come, it's really important to pay attention to the prophets, to the preachers, to the scripture that we have. So when you look at the Bible, Old and New Testament alike, we have people who declare the word of the Lord. And very positively so, as John and Paul do. Even back in the Old Testament, when Habakkuk speaks, listen to what he says. The earth one day will be filled with the knowledge and the Lord as the waters cover the sea. No one will need to say to their neighbor, know the Lord, because they already know the Lord. So I think especially when difficult times come, it's important to go back and listen again to the words of the prophets. Now, when you hear the word prophecy, what do you think of? Do you think of someone gazing into a crystal ball and making a prediction of the future? Do you picture something along those lines and you feel uncomfortable when you hear the word prophecy? But in the Bible, as you know, there were many men and women prophets. And some of those prophets were very interesting and they had incredible experiences. So, for example, you may remember the story of Elisha, who was running to Elijah, who had just gone over a hill, and Elijah runs to the hill, and when he looks down the hill, Elijah is gone, because Elijah had been taken up, and Elijah had commissioned Elijah to continue with his work, to speak the word of God. So many interesting experiences with prophets. I think of the prophet Ezekiel, where God takes him to a valley of dry bones. And God asks, well, what do you see, Ezekiel? He said, all I see is bones, dry bones, skeletons, if you will. And then all of a sudden, tendons and muscles and ligaments all come together. And these dry bones become human flesh and they become a vast army of God. There was that miracle that took place. And yet God is saying to Ezekiel, I have many people who will declare my word, forth tell my word, be one of those prophets. Or the story of Daniel, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and yet untouched by the lions. And later, Daniel has a vision of the kingdom that would come, the kingdom that we now experience called the church. But back then, he wanted to know about these kingdoms that would come. And the vision comes to Daniel, and yet Michael, the archangel, tells Daniel, don't be concerned about these kingdoms that will come. They won't happen for a long, long time, Daniel, but you stay faithful to God. You declare the word of God. And then he said to Daniel, good words. As for you, go your way until your end. You will rest, and then at the end of your days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. So those are interesting stories, I think, when it comes to prophets and prophecies. But in the Bible, there were many prophets, men and women alike. They were preachers. Micah, Amos, Obadiah, Deborah, Phoebe, Huldah, Elijah, Elisha, as we talked about, Samuel, Daniel, Isaiah, Malachi, and many others. And most prophets, when you read them, don't spend too much time talking about future events. Prophets preached, they foretold the word of God more than they foretold the word of God. They spoke to their people of that time and declared the word of the Lord to them. And today for us in our time, I think it's important to look at those prophets, preachers, and what they're telling us, especially in these days. It was more forthtelling than foretelling. So when you look at prophecy, it is declaring the word of the Lord. We listen to what the prophets say. We try to understand what the prophets say. And then we put into work what those prophets are encouraging us to do. So prophets spoke to the people for their understanding of God's will. And all of the prophets did speak clearly, although sometimes it was a little bit veiled. But more than anything else, the overall teaching of the prophets was for the people of their day and time and how God expected them to live, but always knowing there was a future, the Messiah who would come. And it's important that they relied on those prophets, their credibility. We have Old and New Testament. We can open up our Bible and read them. They didn't. So they had to rely on these prophets. And the prophets themselves needed to stay tuned into God like we do today and understanding the will and the word of God. And one of the things that Jesus reminded his disciples of, and that he reminds us of, is that even in all of those days before Jesus was born, there was this discussion of a Messiah who would be coming. And following the life of Jesus, death, and then his resurrection, Jesus reminds his disciples, and twice this happens in the book of Luke, where Jesus said, everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses and all the prophets and the Psalms. And just as Jesus was about to leave the earth, one more time, he said to his followers, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So maybe another way of saying this is the preaching of the prophets always had a focus on the Messiah, Jesus himself. And that should be our preaching today. And the prophets always spoke about the Messiah who would be coming. Yes, they spoke to their people of that time, of that day, and dealt with the situations that they were dealing with. But again, Habakkuk, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the other Old Testament prophets spoke about the new heaven, the new earth, the kingdom of God, spoke about how to live on the earth, speaking about the love of God, and that one day all things will be renewed and restored. So we maybe in the past have sort of forgotten the power of the word of God by the prophets in Old and New Testament alike, the power of the preaching of the prophets of that time and day. So they spoke to their people what was happening in their time, just like we preachers maybe should do so today. For those of us who love history, we can go back and understand Isaiah, what the time was like, and all the things that the customs and the cultures of that day, trying to understand what they were going through. But the ultimate for us is today, using those prophets who foretold the word of God, speaking to the people what needs to be heard even today. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I think this is wonderful, the prophecy, preaching, is for our strengthening, for our encouragement, and for our comfort. If you haven't already heard some preachers today, when difficult times come, they want to bring scare tactics to their preaching. And all scare tactics do is brings about, and it's not declaring the word of the Lord the way God always wanted. Prophets were to be preachers, encouraging people to live honorable lives, to love God, to love their family, to love their friends, to honor the word of God. And prophets expected people, once they heard the word of the Lord, to grow in faith and endurance and make the world a better place. So in many ways, even though the culture 2,000 years ago was much different than the culture today, the preaching is as important today and is as similar today as it was back then, to make the world the place God always intended it to be, and how we treat one another, and how we can use scripture to help mold us into the kind of people he wants us to be. So when the church first begins, it involved prophecy. In Acts chapter 2, this wonderful holiday called Pentecost, where Jewish people gathered from all over the known world at that time, coming to Jerusalem and celebrating. The Apostle Peter and other apostles were there. He stands up and he prophesies. He preaches the words of Joel, word by word, verbatim, that everything is now changing. In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. They will declare the word of God. They will foretell the word of the Lord, both men and women, declaring the word of the Lord for people's understanding, strengthening, encouragement, and comfort to grow as Christians. So Paul talks about men and women prophets, and he reminds us that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us that through the endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, that we might have hope. So we talk about men and women prophets, and there were many women prophets slash preachers, just as there were many prophets slash preachers. For example, the Apostle Philip had four daughters who were prophets, preachers. Remember what prophecy is. It's declaring the word of God for people's understanding, strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. That's prophecy. It's declaring the word of the Lord. And so many women prophet preachers were there. And Philip had four daughters who declared the word of the Lord. Miriam, the sister of Moses, declared the word of the Lord. She prophesied to the people. Deborah was a prophet preacher who declared the word of the Lord. Huldah was a prophet preacher who declared the word of the Lord. Junia was a prophet preacher who declared the word of the Lord. Priscilla was a prophet preacher who declared the word of the Lord. And just as there were many wonderful women in Scripture, Eve, Esther, Deborah, Mary, and so forth, there were men and women who were spirit-filled to declare the word of the Lord. They foretold to people words that they needed to hear. They all declared the word of the Lord. Their preaching, their teaching would be powerful. They would strengthen, they would encourage each other to live this life, to demonstrate what would come someday. The union, the joining together of the heavens and the earth, becoming one, what God always intended it to be. So right now, going through this pandemic, there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of worry, and there's a lot of anxious feelings in people's lives. So we need to remember the promise of God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. And God does understand suffering. And we know that Jesus understood suffering. But even in our suffering, we remember that God is with us. And again, the preacher Paul reminds us, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And then he says this as a caveat, whatever spiritual gift God has given you, use those gifts for the betterment of people. So let me just close by reading what Paul said to the church at Rome. And I think it's important for us today. He says this, for just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, each member belongs to all the others. We're never created to be isolated. And then he says, we have different talents, different gifts, according to the grace he has given us. So he says, use whatever gift you have for the benefit of others. If your gift is prophesying, preaching, then preach, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then do so. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. And this is an non-exhaustive list. Whatever gifts God has given us, use those gifts to make the world the place God always intended it to be. So I wish a blessing upon all who are listening today. Don't let the world drag you down. Always remember what God said, that one day, all things will be made new. All things will be restored. And until that day, stay close to Him, stay close to your loved ones, and help make the world a better place this week. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.
Good morning and welcome to a time of communion. We're living in really unusual times. And I think for some of us, we have lost some things that we are accustomed to having, like the freedom to be able to go into a store and purchase things without being afraid of being sick or making someone else sick. It may be that we have lost our job or we are having some financial difficulties as a result of these conditions. Now, sometimes we dwell on the things in our lives that we're losing, and we lose track of the good things that are there. I mean, we're still alive. We still have family to some degree, or maybe to a lesser degree than what we're normally is true. But we have lots of blessings in our lives today. I was reminded of this past weekend on Friday. I traveled to Berks Falls for my mother's internment. And so it made me reflect a little bit about things that are important. And one of the things that was really important to my mother, even though she lived through some difficult times, being born in the Depression, living through World War II, and the uncertainties that created. And also, as long as with everybody's lives, we have some difficulties that come along. She wouldn't say having six children by the time she was 34 was a difficulty. But I think if we were to say that to most mothers and families today, they would think that was really a hardship. But she never thought that way. But one of the things that I was reminded about my mom was that she really did believe in Jesus. And we're told that in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that he that believes, we're going to have eternal life. And for my mother passing away, to have this gift of eternal life is pretty amazing. So I'd like to dwell a little bit today in Ephesians chapter 2. At the beginning of this chapter, Paul writes, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient." And certainly we see that in our world today, that when we're in this pandemic, it seems that there are things in our lives that creep in that maybe make us feel like, you know what, it's really not worth it, or we really don't have a God. But later on in this chapter in verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which God loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." Wow, what this great gift of Jesus that through his mercy, God's mercy and rich grace has given us the Son, that we might be saved, that we might be, and it goes on to say, and raised up with Christ and seated with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So to think of my mom being in the presence of Christ, this is an amazing kind of example of God's grace. In verse 8 it says, for by grace you have been saved. Saved how? Through faith, through believing in Jesus. And this is not your own doing, it's a gift of God, not the result of works, so that we may not boast, but for we were with what God has made us, created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So we have faith in Jesus, in his grace and his mercy, and we believe this, and as a result, we get this immeasurable gift of eternal life with God, and he raises us up to do good works while we dwell in this place called earth. So I would invite you to take some bread, and we'll pray, and then we'll partake together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for this great mercy that you have extended to us through Jesus Christ. We believe this, and because we believe it, we have hope in this life and in the life that comes after this life. We're thankful for this bread that reminds us of the body of your Son that hung on the tree and was broken for us to give us this amazing grace and life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we think of the blood of Jesus that flowed. So as we prepare to partake of the fruit of the vine, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for this great gift of your Son, for the blood that flowed down off of the cross, flowed from his side and flowed from the thorns in his head. This blood that gives us life, that changes the sins that we have, erases them so that we might be one with you. We're thankful for this great gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as this great scripture reminds us, that God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works. May that be our goal this week, to be vessels of Jesus Christ in good works, not to earn our salvation, but to thank God for this wonderful salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Have a great week.
Thank you to Don, Kristen, and Ed for being part of the service this week. The music from this video is Tratek by Jesse Gallagher. The images were taken from Unsplash. Our past sermons are available on our YouTube channel, on Facebook, and at BeamsvilleChurchOfChrist.ca.